hockey season's still a ways away, but you know, in the, probably in the last 5 years, you've read Rob Volman's books. At least you've probably heard about them, right? The Hockey Abstract books. It started back in 2013, and every year he's had another book, and he's back at it again this year with Hockey Abstract 2018 Update. Rob, thanks for joining us. Boy, you're like the Marvel Comics movies. You got a sequel every year. You got a franchise going here. How's that feel?
You know, the original Hockey Abstract, yeah, back in 2013, like you mentioned, was meant to be a one-off. But everybody, they keep wanting to know what's new as every year passes. What are the new stats? What are the new developments? What do those stats look like today? So, I mean, this is stuff I do for myself anyway. So might as well drop into this something, make it available for everybody, right?
Why do you do it for yourself?
Well, because I just, that's what I do in my spare time. I mean, even when I was a kid, other people would go read comic books and play video games. Me, every spare moment, I'd run to my room and I'd play with sports stats. And here I am, a grown man, and I'm doing the same thing.
Well, take me back to 2013. Was there any other books? What led you to making it actually, like, let's get this out to the public?
No, there weren't any other books. And that's one of the main reasons I did this, because I wanted these books. Like, when I was a kid, there was the Klein and Reif Hockey Compendium in 1986. And Stan and Shirley Fischler also had a book called Breakaway 86. And then there was just nothing. I mean, there was another hockey compendium in 2001. There was Total Hockey as well around that time. But basically, there was nothing. And baseball gets tons of books. So I'm like, well, I guess if there's going to be a book, I'm just going to have to sort of do it myself and then hope it catches on.
I'm trying to phrase this question the right way. I want to ask you who reads your books. I don't want to say who reads these books, but I love doing, you know, fantasy hockey and things like that. So a lot of your information helps me. But what kind of people read your books? What are they looking for?
Well, I'll admit, actually, the original Hockey Abstract in 2013 was mostly for people like me, the people that really love playing with numbers, really love playing with stats. They're just addicted to it. But over time, we've actually figured out different ways to make this a bit more fun and accessible for everybody. And in fact, the 2018 update, I mean, we've got full color, we've got charts, you know, we've got just different ways of expressing this data. So it's not just for, you know, the hardcore number crunchers. It's really for everybody. It's for the average fan that just wants to know how these numbers work, just wants to get another perspective, just something to supplement the coverage they're getting from people like you.
You mentioned baseball analytics, and I followed that as closely as I could, and it seemed like there was an explosion of new data in the last 5-10 years. Are you happy the way hockey analytics is moving forward right now, or have we kind of hit a wall here, or what's going on that way?
No, I'm incredibly jealous of baseball. I'm even bitter and resentful because they get all of this great data. They get all these great analysts. Every team has got like a bunch of statisticians. Every network, you know, they show you where all the pitches are right there on the screen. And they tell you the speed of the pitch and just all sorts of information. And we don't have that in hockey. I would love to tune into a hockey game. And every time there's a shot, it shows you where in the net it was aimed. And it shows you what the goalie save percentage was in different sections of the net, perhaps after a whistle. You know, I'm really jealous of baseball. I wish we had more of that in hockey.
Well, baseball, the other thing too, is they reset every pitch, right? If you want to study a baseball player, you know, 2-1 pitch curveball, what does he do? 2-2 pitch, you know, everybody resets. Hockey's always, you know, ever moving. How hard is it to maybe track these kind of statistics for hockey?
Well, I mean, it's a lot harder, but you can still do it. Okay. I mean, instead of pitch by pitch, you know, you can make it puck battle by puck battle. I mean, you start with a face-off, right? And then the puck goes to somebody, and he's trying to advance it up the boards, or he's trying to make a pass, and there's someone on the other side trying to prevent that. Well, we can just call that a certain play, you know, attempted pass or attempted advance up the ice. Mark where it happened. Mark the success rate. That can be an event, just like a pitch. And then over time, I don't know how many different events we'd come up with, maybe between 50 or 100, but we'd figure out, you know, what the odds are of various events are of succeeding, and we figure out which players were good at which types of events. And I'm not saying we get there overnight, but I think, you know, we could head that direction.
I've noticed a lot of people over the years have done, like you, done their own websites, they've done hockey analytics, they've done statistical work, then they get hired by an NHL team. Have you ever been approached by a team to just, like Bill James works for the Red Sox, have you ever been approached to say, hey, keep this stuff just for our team?
Yeah, there are teams that have approached, and I've done consulting for quite a few teams where I come in, help them with a few specific things and then go.
Okay.
But I've never actually signed on with a team. But you're correct that a lot of people have. I know many colleagues of mine, I guess you could say, who started off with just a blog or maybe participated in Hockey Abstract or something. They're now working full-time for an NHL team.
Rob Volman, Hockey Abstract 2018 update. How can we get this?
Go to hockeyabstract.com. That's my website. Click on, you'll see a list of all my books, but click on the Hockey Abstract 2018 update. And that's where you can purchase it. And there's also, I've lowered the prices on all the old books as well. So it's a good time to complete your collection.
Let's get into this new book. It's called Hockey. It's called Update. So there's probably philosophies or things from the previous books that you've updated with stats. What part is the same as years past in this book?
Yeah, the difference between sort of just Hockey Abstract and Hockey Abstract Update,
mm-hmm.
Well, one of the differences, Hockey Abstract, those are physical books that you can buy and they'll ship it to you from Amazon, whereas the Hockey Abstract Updates, those are just digital only.
Okay.
I mean, you can read it on your iPad or you can print it up. And the Hockey Abstract books are all new material, all new research, footnotes, backgrounds, formulas, the whole nine yards, whereas the updates are just, the updated figures and numbers. It's got enough information so you can use the stats, but it doesn't go into, like, you know, pages and pages of details about where they came from and what the formulas are and what correlates to what. It's basically the fastest and quickest way just to get the numbers in a usable format. But if there's something you're particularly interested in, you're going to have to go and look that up in the original book.
For people that have read your books in the past, it's not just you and your ideas and your data. You have other people involved as well. Any new people joining you in this book this year?
Yeah, the big new name I want to mention, his name is R.J. Weiss, and he's a Calgarian as well.
Okay.
And he did all the charts in the book. So you're quite familiar with the player usage charts. Most people are, our beloved player usage charts.
Yeah.
But until now, we haven't really put anything else in chart form. We always just put it in forms of tables. Well, some of this information is easier to understand, easier to digest, easier to make sense of if you see it in chart form. So thanks to RJ, we've done that for all the stats, whether that's quality starts or adjusted save percentage or a player's value versus the cap or coaching metrics, whatever it is, we put it in a chart instead of a table.
How far is this reaching now for you across Canada, the United States? Is it worldwide? Are you getting input from like everywhere right now?
Yeah, I mean, this stuff has definitely been taking off. I hear from people all over North America. I do hear about from people like from Finland, for instance. There's a body of interest in Finland as well. This has definitely spread beyond sort of the websites that we used to write on and the blogs we used to write on. It's definitely of larger interest to everybody, like medias, agents, scouts, front offices, and fans of all kinds.
What's the popular new analytic that you're working on that you're most proud of in this book? Is there something that's going to grab our attention and go, wow, this is exactly what we've been talking about the last couple of years. We want this kind of, you know, statistics to look at. Is there anything that really you're really proud of for new this way?
Well, definitely I'm proud of the charts. I think RJ did a great job on the charts. I think that's going to get a lot of people interested in stats that already exist. There's a few new things, nothing terribly clever like we had in the books. There's a few old things we brought back, like the present statistic from the Klein and Reif Hockey Compendium, which I call the heart statistic because it seems to predict who's going to win the heart every year. And by the way, it's casting a favorable light on Jack Eichel this year. So if the Sabres somehow do make the playoffs, keep your eye on Jack Eichel being a surprise Hart Trophy winner. And we've also got the accolade index, which is sort of a way of measuring roughly how well teams have navigated the salary cap era by awarding points based on team and individual achievements. And so probably doesn't surprise you, Pittsburgh's at the very top of the list, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are actually at the bottom, and they're actually behind Vegas, even though they had, of course, a 10-year head start on the Golden Knights.
Is there a player or two that surprised you when you were doing some of this work over the summer going, I didn't know this player is, you know, better than people talk about?
Oh, there's always a player like that.
Yeah.
Usually it's when a player makes a significant shift in one direction or the other. Like it's maybe a solid player, but all of a sudden isn't contributing. or maybe they're in a they're just in a different role. And then on the flip side, there's players that just all of a sudden got a lot better than you remember them. If you want to take a local example, in the first case, I've got my eye on TJ Brody this season because for a long time, we viewed him as one of the best sort of number two, number three defensemen in the NHL. And then for the past couple of seasons, I mean, his numbers really haven't been particularly strong in a number of different ways. But now that Dougie Hamilton has been moved away, it's possible that Brody's going to find himself back playing with Mark Giordano, who I don't need to tell you is one of the best number one defensemen in the league statistically. And that could possibly get TJ Brody back to where he used to be.
How are the new guys going to fit in? Let's start with James Neal. Based on, you know, what he's done recently, doesn't seem like he's going to drop off, and he's going to obviously be playing with some talented players. Do you have any feeling about him?
Well, we do have a section on an aging curve to basically explain how to project how a player's performance is going to change as they get older. And while you can't predict what's going to happen with any one individual player, because everybody's different, we do know the basic trends that players follow. And the reason I bring that up with James Neal is that he's already at the point where his performance could begin to decline. And just as a comparison, that's what we saw with Troy Brouwer when he was signed a couple of years ago. And of course, he was recently bought out. So I think what the numbers are suggesting, that even though every individual is different, the numbers are suggesting that there's a risk that the same thing could happen to James Neal.
James Neal and Troy Brouwer in the same sentence doesn't hit Flames fans too good right now.
No, they're different styles of players, which, yes, of course, is why people think it's different. I mean,
yes,
you have one age curve for the Troy Brouwers and a different age curve for the scoring line players like James Neal. And we have done that sort of thing. And certainly, there are certain skills that degrade faster than others. But overall, I mean, a player like James Neal is entering that danger zone or will enter that danger zone during the duration of his contract.
Boy, talking about hockey has really changed, obviously, Rob, in the last 5, 10, 15 years. Like, when you bring in a James Neal, or you talk about Hanifin or Lindholm, or, you know, what, you know, a lot of people talking about Tkachuk. Nowadays, we're talking about contracts a lot because, you know, you got the salary cap. How much do we give this guy? How long of a deal you want to do? 10 years ago, when we were talking about Tkachuk, it's like, what line should we put him on? Now we spend hours about, well, what kind of contract should we do? How do you do that with your analytic work with contracts value and you know, how to grade a guy like, you know, Matthew Tkachuk?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the salary cap era, that's a key concern. And that's why teams that have a lot of entry-level contracts in their lineup or a lot of restricted free agents in their lineup, that gives them the greater flexibility to have higher paid players elsewhere in their lineup. And so one key consideration is always have players like Tkachuk cycling into your system, even if they're just on the third and fourth line, cycling into your system. However, to answer your question, the first chapter in StatShot lays it out in really, really good detail. But basically, we try to capture a player's value in a single metric, which is a challenge in and of itself. We take a weighted average of several seasons so that number isn't thrown by a particularly hot or cold year. We regress that back to the league average to address sort of the random variation. Then we try to project that into the future with that age curve I mentioned. And of course, we have to get the whole thing calculated relative to how much cap space that player requires, as opposed to just being a flat number. And so there's really, really good players in the NHL, but because they use so much cap space, team might actually be better off without them.
Coaching data, how do you do that?
Yeah, the coaching, that's an area where we're trying to get more and more analysis done. The trick about coaching data is you want to compare how a coach's teams have done to what the expectations were.
Right.
Now, how a team does is easy. It's just you look at the standings. But the problem is, how do you set those expectations? Do you take sort of the average expectation from all the pundits? Do you do some sort of calculation based on the roster? Well, that's still an open problem. So what we do is we just take the previous season's record in the standings, regress it to the average by 35%. So we just move it to the average by 35%. That means that a good coach has to keep a good team good. They got to make an average team better. And, of course, they have to improve a bad team by more than the bad team would have improved with anybody else. And, you know, in one or two seasons, it's really hard to evaluate a coach. But once you start getting 5 years or 10 years, once you start looking at the coach's history in other leagues, once you start looking at the entire staff, then you start getting a bit more of an accurate picture about the impact a coaching staff can have on a team that year.
Hockey Abstract 2018 update is out with Rob Volman. You can visit hockeyabstract.com. Hockeyabstract.com. Where do I want to go next here? Is there a hot new phrase or a new word that's going to come out? Because we've heard Corsi forever, Fenwick, metric this, metric that. Is there going to be a new phrase this year that everyone's going to be talking about?
Well, it's not particularly new because it was actually invented by Alan Ryder back in 2004, but it's gaining a lot of popularity recently. Have you heard the term expected goals?
Yes.
But it's relatively new, right? I mean, yes. Expected goals is it's basically Corsi, so it's basically shot attempts, but it's weighted by the odds of each shot going in. So whether a shot is taken from the point, it's worth a different amount than if it's taken right in front of the net on a rebound. And so expected goals is just how many goals you would expect based on the location and the quality of all those shots. And that particular perspective, which I mentioned is actually almost 15 years old, has taken on a real interest lately. And I think it's the next thing you're going to be hearing over and over.
Maybe I heard that in baseball with expected the wins or expected strikeouts. Maybe I haven't heard it in hockey, but that's going to be great to have more of that because it helps you understand a shooter a little bit more. You know, one of the things that stood out in baseball as well is you can grade a player like Vladdy Guerrero Jr. We can look at what he did, rookie ball, single A, double A. You can project a lot better. For hockey, when you look at prospects playing junior hockey or playing in Europe, you don't have obviously anywhere near the stats that you would for hockey, let alone baseball. So how do you guys battle through that and trying to grade what some prospects can do this year?
Yeah, we've got a few tools. The most popular one is called NHL Translations, which basically we take a look at all the players that went from that league to the NHL in the past, and we figure out what percentage of their scoring, you know, they retained. And so did they go from a point a game to 0.4 points a game, right? We just take a look at their average, and that's called translation factor, and we multiply that by the players scoring in the other league. Now, if you're going to do that, the second very, very important piece of information you need to have is the player's age, because there's a very, very big difference between a player doing something at age 17 or 18 versus doing the same thing at age 20 or 21. And that's one reason, for instance, we saw Johnny Gaudreau have such good scoring when he came from U.S. college, but Jimmy Vesey, for instance, with the Rangers, did not. It was because, first of all, Gaudreau came from a stronger conference, but it was also because Gaudreau, he achieved his scoring success at a much younger age than Jimmy Vesey did. And the third thing we look at is we have a giant database of every player and how they performed in all other leagues. And what we do is we basically look for all the players that have comparable stats to the player we're looking at. And then what percentage of them made the NHL? And then if they did make the NHL, what was their average scoring rate? And from that, we can look at a prospect and we can say, well, based on similar players, he's got, say, a 30% chance of making the NHL. And if he does, he's going to be, you know, a 30-point player. So those are the three big tools we have when looking at prospects.
I don't want to take too much from your book. I know you want people to go out and buy it, but you mentioned Jack Eichel for the Hart Trophy. Maybe you want the leading candidate based on anyone else you want to mention, top three, top five, who to watch for this year?
Yeah, the section in question is called the Hart Statistic, and certainly I mentioned Jack Eichel a lot, but there's a lot of players that also fare very well by the Hart Statistic, Johnny Gaudreau being one of them. Some of the names you already know, Patrick Kane, Connor McDavid, probably because they've already won the Hart Trophy.
Right.
But another name that's in that discussion as well would be someone like Vladimir Tarasenko. So these are all examples of players that if their teams make the playoffs and exceed expectations, they could very well find themselves in the Hart Trophy mix.
How about the Calder Trophy?
Trophy is always much harder to project, yeah. But we do have this one section where we took a look at how rookies are used on a player usage chart. And the player that wins the Calder Trophy is always in the exact same spot of the player usage chart. So if you go take a look at that chapter, that'll give you at least some hint about who might have the edge on the Calder.
Are you going to tell us who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
Well, I mean, I was right last year.
Right. Okay.
I would say the team that seems to have an edge right now, I'm going to agree with sort of most people's opinions, and that is that the Tampa Bay Lightning are very well positioned right now. But they're also in the same division as the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are also very well positioned to break out. So for that reason, they might wind up battling each other to the point where some team elsewhere in the league is just going to slide right on through.
How's that Pacific Division look?
Hard to predict.
Yeah.
A lot of it is what you would expect. I mean, the California teams are usually all fairly strong, but they're not world beaters. Nobody knows what to expect from Vegas. I mean, there's a certain potential that they're going to face plant this year, but they're notoriously hard to predict. And then, of course, the Canadian teams, I mean, to be honest, most of the statisticians generally can't really figure out what it is the teams are doing. And so as a result, they're pretty hard for us to project as well.
The Hockey Abstract 2018 update, I'm reading this from your website, so I'm not going to, you know, get you misquoted or anything. This digital publication includes updates to all the stats, tables, and charts from previous editions in the Hockey Abstract series, including their trademark player usage charts for all 31 teams. As always, it also serves as a standalone guide containing information and analysis that you can get that you can't get anywhere else. This year's Hockey Abstract 2018 update contains over 170 pages of fresh analysis. How does it feel to have it done?
Oh, it's a weight off my shoulders. Yeah. It's always nice to get that out with plenty of time for everyone to read it and absorb it. And just like that last sentence you read,
yeah.
Even if you're not really into stats so much, I try to focus only on stuff you can't get anywhere else. So it's really fresh information that you can just add to what you know. There's not a lot of repetition from what you're going to get from Sportsnet or the hockey news. I try to get you exclusively information that's unique and you can't get anywhere else.
Anything else about the book that I didn't mention that you want to throw in?
Oh, yeah. It was one of the things that's a lot of fun. There's a statistician that's working for Sportsnet, for Hockey Night in Canada for many years, named Stan Naritka. Great guy. Behind-the-scenes guy, but a great guy. He contributed 25 interesting stat pop-ups that you'll see throughout the publication. Just interesting little stat-of-the-day findings. And I think you're going to get a lot of enjoyment out of those as well.
Well, I enjoy your guys' writing because, you know, analytics can be overwhelming for a lot of people. And sometimes I got to put the book down and go, okay, I can't, this is not being absorbed very good right now. I go back even, you know, to previous books and just like, okay, now this makes a little more sense. So appreciate the work you guys do and good luck with the new update.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure. And I certainly do hope that you enjoy it.
Anything else you're doing during the year? Where can we follow you for updates as the year goes on?
Well, I'm also participating on NHL.com's 31 and 31 series right now. And my contribution is I give three stats for every team, three interesting key stats for every team. So if you go to NHL.com, you'll see me there. Or, of course, there's links on my website, hockeyabstract.com. And you can also just follow me on Twitter, Rob Volman, NHL.
Thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing you later on this year.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Hockey Abstract 2018 update with Rob Volman.